America the Beautiful. There is adventure to be found around every corner.
And there is no better way to explore it than by staying at one of our country's 14,000 campgrounds.
Our team of correspondents will guide you to the best places to park your rig or pitch your tent.
On each week's episode, we'll give a complete review of one campground, location, activities, amenities, best sites, and tons of other insider intel.
Plus, we'll talk about regional highlights, food, culture, attractions, family fun, and all things great outdoors.
From the East Coast to the West Coast, and from the Great Lakes to the Mississippi Delta, it's time to hit the open road with RVFTA's Campground of the Week. Our southern correspondents are Keith and Tia Sims of SoulfulRVFamily.com. Keith is a retired NFL star and current television commentator for the Miami Dolphins. He and his wife Tia are RV fanatics and spend much of the offseason exploring America in their Newmar Class A. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you.
It's great to be here.
Hi, Keith. Hi, Tia. Thanks for joining us.
Tell us more. Tell us more. Introduce yourselves to our audience. Who are you guys? What are you all about?
Well, I'm Keith Sims. My wife, Tia, here. You know, I'm a retired NFL player, played 11 years in the NFL, and my wife has gotten me into the RV lifestyle about 5 years ago, about going to RV shows, and we've been touring the country with our kids over the last 2.5 years and having a phenomenal time exploring this great country.
Yeah, it took a bit of time to get Keith on board with this RV lifestyle. But I think I finally got him in, and we don't see any turning back anytime soon.
Don't be modest. You think you've got him in. This guy is hooked. you two are both hooked.
I am definitely hooked. The entire family is hooked on it. The kids love it. We traveled with our three young boys, and they love actually the RV experience and lifetime. And we're using it also as branching off as part of Tia's homeschool education of the kids, is going to these places and seeing these things that you're studying before we hit the road. So it's certainly an entire family affair.
Yeah, and I think I'm ready to start road schooling.
Oh no, here we go again.
Another hashtag road schooling.
Right. We'll see. Keep you posted.
About how many nights have you guys done in the past year? Just roughly. It doesn't have to be exact.
This past year, it's got to be pushing 70, 80 nights. I mean, it's a lot, especially if you don't include the time, because I'm pretty unique. We keep the RV down in South Florida for me to live in during football season, and that encompasses at least 60 nights itself, so I'm not even including those nights in our travel so far. So we are certainly putting our RV to good use.
All right, so that means you guys are going to have plenty of campground reviews to share with us, and we are very happy about this. And hopefully we'll be giving you an excuse to even visit more campgrounds, right? Like you needed an excuse.
And you guys are our southern correspondents, but we will let you break out of the South if you want to review a campground, because we know you travel far and wide. So where are you guys taking us this week?
This week, we're heading to Daytona Beach. Actually, Flagler Beach. We went over to the Beverly Beach Camptown RV Resort right on A1A. And if anybody knows Vanilla Ice, that's known as Beachfront Avenue.
So A1A, Beachfront Avenue.
You got it.
All right. So position us in terms of north, south of any major cities in Florida.
It's about 15 to 20 miles north of Daytona Beach, but it's east, again, right on the ocean, Atlantic Ocean. Very easy to get to.
Okay. Now, what type of campground is this? Is this a Good Sam campground or?
Public, yes. Private.
Okay. All right.
Privately owned campground. It is in the Good Sam network, so they do offer discounts for Good Sam members and discounts to the military.
Oh, okay, good. Thank you for that information. And now, how big of a campground is it? What kind of number of sites are we looking at?
It's a total of approximately 170, 180 sites there, but it's split up into three different levels, which is pretty unique. I mean, you talk about oceanfront camping and you have it here. So they have their premier oceanfront sites. They have about, 38 of those sites directly on the Atlantic Ocean. Then they have the Ocean View sites, which is a road directly behind that. That's another 50 or 60 sites. So you probably have about 118 total sites where you at least have a good ocean view right in front of you.
It's beautiful. There's no bad site at this place.
Now, you were talking about the uniqueness of this campground. There's another row behind that, right? That's across the highway on the other side. Is that correct?
Oh, she's jumping ahead of us on this one. Yes, there absolutely is. And that typically is for more long-term stay. That's called their camper village. You get monthly stays. You're not direct ocean view or access, but you are literally steps away from the Atlantic Ocean. So there is, like Tia was saying, there is not really a bad site in this entire campground.
And the ocean is like right there, right? I mean, it's just like you literally hop out of your RV and you're a couple steps away from the beach, correct?
It's beautiful. I mean, just the views from our front windshield was amazing.
Okay, so I know if I'm expecting to have a resort on the beach or a hotel room on the beach or a house on the beach, I'm looking at some higher prices than a hotel inland. I'm assuming that's the same thing for this campground. Yes.
You do pay for your view, and the sites are priced that way. The oceanfront sites typically start about during the weekday, the non-peak area, about $115 a day, going up to about $135. And then during peak, which is typically, May through December, it's a little bit more there. But as you drop back, the price gets a little different. And something to remember, you are 30 minutes from Daytona, which is Daytona Speedway. Anytime there's a big function there, the races, Bike Week, Biketoberfest, as well as main holidays, the prices do go up a little bit more. But literally, you are talking, our campsite was site 33. We stepped out of our RV, and within six steps, we were in the ocean. Priceless. You can't, it's hard to put a price on that.
So is this like a nice campground for a special treat or for a long weekend? Is this the type of place you'd stay for a whole week, or is it more of a weekend stop?
I would definitely stay for an entire week. I mean, it was so relaxing, even with the kids. I mean, there was a paved road that goes directly, up and down the campground, and the kids scooted their way up and down all day long. When they got tired of that, it was to the ocean. It was amazing.
Right. Yeah, any campground that's good for bikes and scooters is usually a real hit with parents.
Well, that's a nice combination too. Kind of get hot and then go for a swim and then go back and scoot some more.
Now, it's sounding to me like this is where you go if you want a chill out beach vacation. What about the other amenities? Should I expect other things there to do at the campground?
Well, you have an ocean, so what else do you technically need? You've got the beautiful Atlantic Ocean. That was one of those things where you say you're going there and you're not going to get much more than the beach and the ocean. There's no playground there. There's not a lot of other things to do, and I think that's one of the reasons why it is what it is. It's because you're there to enjoy God's beautiful ocean and the beach, and fabulous things to do on the beach, obviously, if you want to tan, swim, surf, whatever you want to do there, you have those activities. But outside of the location right on the Atlantic Ocean, they don't have a lot of activities for you to do there.
Okay, they want you to sit back and enjoy the view.
Yes.
Yeah, they do. And of course, explore the area because, again, you're so close to so many different things. So day excursions are phenomenal. And then coming back and you're seeing the sunset in the Atlantic Ocean, not a bad way to end the day.
Were there other kids and families there? Did it skew older, younger? Was it a mix, or was it quiet when you were there in general?
I believe it was a good mix when we were there. There were a few families. It was not very crowded when we went. Mind you, this was
October, so we were kind of getting into that season. Obviously, most families' kids are in school in October. Mm-hmm. and you had the snowbirds starting to come down to hit the South Florida or the Florida area. So I think you were kind of right in that transition time. I would say it's a perfect time to go visit if you have flexibility in your schedule. Hitting there in October before Halloween, you know, after Labor Day, you get good pricing, a little bit more privacy, a little bit more space, and you've got full use of the whole campground and it's not crowded.
Definitely, if you're nearby, it's a great weekend stay.
Okay, now is that the time, is that sort of the season of the year that you think is the best time to go weather-wise also, not just for crowds, but that September-October period?
It depends on how you like your water temperature. The temperature is starting to get a little bit chilly. You're not quite as hot. The humidity has left the area. So even though it was in the low 80s, when it got down at night, it got a little cool. It got pretty breezy by the ocean, which was, for us, we loved it because when you lit your campfire, you could almost feel the warmth that made you feel snuggly.
Right. We had our blankets. We had our campfire. We had s'mores. It was beautiful. During the day, we did walk around. We had shorts and t-shirts on. We enjoyed that weather. The water was a little cool. It was a little cool for my taste. The kids didn't bother them.
You know kids. They don't care what the temperature water is. So.
It's water they're getting
in. And your boys are brave and adventurous. Let's just go on record and say it.
Yes, they are. They are.
Now, you said you had site 33. You were right there in front of the beach. I'm assuming there's nothing blocking you from the beach, right? That you just walk right down on it. Tell us a little bit more about the sites. Are they concrete pads? Are there grass? Are they a little bit close together? You know, just describe what the sites are like that are right there, the prime sites along the beach.
We didn't feel the closeness of the sites while we were there. There weren't that many families while we were there parked. There were no families parked on either side of us, actually. But we felt like there was an ample amount of space for every RVer to have a comfortable site. But for the most part, you're really not going to be standing out by your RV. You're going to be on the beach.
Mm-hmm. And keep in mind, there are sites that were a little bit higher priced, number 40 through 63. They're known as their premier sites, a little bit wider, 25 feet wide. They have cement patios. They were just added a few years ago. So if you really want the concrete patio, you can get it there. And all their sites have 50 amps, full hookups. They have Wi-Fi there as well that actually did work. I mean, you know how campsite Wi-Fi can be a little spotty, but it did work. And maybe that was because there weren't that many people there. But there are certain sites that are premier, and even site number 63, this is a little insider tip, and I might be a little early on this one, but site number 63, they actually add an extra $10 fee because of the view is so spectacular. It's a 365-degree view for
that
site.
They call it their panoramic view site.
Right. Keith, it's never too early for an insider tip, because that's what we're all about here. So no problem getting the big rig in and out, obviously.
None whatsoever. And plenty of space for our tow, because we towed our Jeep there, plenty of space to pull that in behind it. We had no issues whatsoever.
Okay. Now, are the campsites on the row behind you, which you called, I think, did you say the Ocean View sites?
Yes, those are Ocean View sites. Those are sites like 72 to 118 directly behind you.
Are they larger? Or are they pretty much the same size?
I think they're pretty much the same.
Yeah, they are pretty much the same size, yeah.
Okay. Now, I had already jumped ahead and talked about that road that goes through the middle, you know, through the campground, and you have that other row of sites on the other side. Mm-hmm. What about road noise? Like, is that I mean, we know A1A, but I don't know the kind of traffic that's on A1A.
To tell you the truth, Stephanie, we did not hear any road noise, at least nothing that was notable. All we heard was the crashing of the ocean.
Okay.
It was the most soothing. I'm ready to go back now. It was a soothing atmosphere.
I imagine the ocean would actually sort of kill the road noise to some degree because you're so close to the waves.
Yeah. You're probably right. That's probably why we didn't notice it at all.
And it was nice to know you guys have much more experience beach camping than we do. This is actually our first time ever beach camping. So you're not using your awnings because you're right on the ocean. The wind is coming off, which was beautiful. That breeze and that, like Tia said, that serene sound of the waves going and the wind blowing. And our RV was literally parked in between two palm trees. So think about that as a view that you get.
Yeah, right. And so if you were a family that was on the other side of the road, would you feel like you were in a game of Frogger, you know, trying to cross the street? Or do you think like it would be pretty easy to just kind of walk across with your kids and find a spot on the beach?
You know, we traveled up and down A1A because we did go to another little beach spot that was right, probably 2 miles or 3 miles away from our campground. And we did have to cross the street with all the children. Not a problem.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So the traffic isn't overwhelming or anything.
No, not at all.
No, certainly not.
We're not in South Beach.
Well traveled, but it's not full of traffic here or there. But yeah, I agree with you. It's certainly nothing you can't navigate.
All right. So do you have any other insider details or tips for our listeners that you didn't already kind of give away?
Well, for me, again, being our first time going to the beach, if you can afford it and book early, especially around holiday time, if you're going to anywhere near Daytona, you have to be aware of the NASCAR race schedule, the bike schedule. There's two different bike weeks, Biketober, that you got to be aware of. So pick your time carefully. It's easy to make reservations. And then at all costs, if you can, get an oceanfront site. I know Ocean View is nice, but for us, being right there where you could literally open the shades of your front windshield, and remember, we have a Class A, so we have this huge windshield, and just see the ocean and see the sun rising, it's worth a few extra dollars. And it's really not that big of a difference between an oceanfront and an ocean view, but you definitely have to book early.
Right. So you're already splurging a little. So it's, in other words, you really think it's worth it to spend that little bit extra once you're already putting out the money to just be in that amazing spot.
Well, it sounds
spot.
Like that's what makes this campground so unique, is to be in that first row, you know.
And to be in that first row. And remember, it's full hookups. A lot of times when I've looked at different campgrounds that have ocean views, you're not getting that sewer hookup. Here, when our site actually had multiple hookups for the sewer, we had two on each side of our RV. So it made it convenient depending on which side of your gray tank area is and the black tank area is. So it was nice to have that ability.
That's a great point, because when we went to like Moorings RV Resort in Maine, we had a beachfront site, but we did not have sewer right up at the edge of the water there.
Yeah, and I think that some of the other beach camping places that we've stayed at, that's the case also. So that's a really good tip for anybody listening that hasn't done beach camping. Understand that in a lot of circumstances that is true, you'll have to go further back for the full hookup site. So,
and keep in mind, with that extra sewer hookup, you could actually, depending on what your rig you had, let's say you had a fifth wheel or you had a Class C where you had a nice window out of your bedroom and you wanted to have that face the ocean with the multiple sewer hookups, you could go back in or forward.
Oh, good point.
That's a great tip for the fifth yes. wheel owners out yes. there, right? Because if you have that big window in the back, man, my gosh, would you have a view?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Now, Keith and Tia, nobody's perfect. So what could be improved upon at this campground, or what would you like to see changed or added?
What would take it from an A+ to an A++?
I think for me as a mom, having four rambunctious boys that just love to be outside, maybe a few beach activities that they would have for the families, or even a night where they would do a bonfire on the beach and have some s'mores over that. I thought that would be really cute.
Yeah, it's so doable, right? That's
exactly
an easy thing for a campground to do.
Not going to cost them much to do that.
Yeah, I think that the lack of activities, as you know, with parents, with kids, sometimes it's nice to have even just one organized activity you can schedule and send them to if you want to relax. That was probably the only thing I can think of that was really lacking from this particular campground. Other than that, I give it an A, no problem.
All right, so they need to have a sandcastle contest in the morning, right?
There you go.
Exactly. And
we know that Soulful RV Family is a little bit competitive, too.
Yeah, they want to have it in a
We know they might try and win that sandcastle. They have a really big sandcastle.
Oh, isn't it not how you win or lose? It's how you play the game.
It's how you build the castle.
But winning is so much better.
Just fun.
I agree.
All
so
right.
We're going to come back in a second. We're going to talk about all the great things to do in the region. Hang on. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We're here with Keith and Tia Sims of SoulfulRVFamily.com, and we are talking about the Beverly Beach Camptown RV Resort in Flagler Beach, Florida. Welcome back, Keith and Tia.
Thank you. Glad to be back.
Okay, so you guys told us tons about this campground and all of the reasons why we have to put this on our list of places to go. You also alluded quite a few times to the fact that there is tons to do in the area. So let's take a few minutes and talk about what your top list includes for activities while you're visiting this campground.
Well, as you know, I'm a homeschooling mom, and I would like to find lots of activities for my kids to throw in some educational element while we're having fun. So I found the St. Augustine Pirate and Treasure Museum, which for my boys, it was like, you know, right up their alley. So this is an interactive museum. It's located in St. Augustine, which is not too far north from Flagler Beach. And it's a pirate ship. They've got actors. They take you on a tour. You get to handle some pirate gold. Arg.
What Max and Theo and Wes
would
love this, right?
They would absolutely eat it up.
Okay. Was this like a half day activity or a full day activity, would you say?
It's what you make of it.
Okay. All right. Now, so you can stretch it out.
Exactly. If your kids are really into it, you've got young ones, it's probably going to take a little bit longer.
Okay, now that's great. The educational piece is all fine and dandy, but we've got young boys, and boys need activities. We need to get their minds going. They need grease, grime, maybe a little engine noise, and you can get all that at the Daytona International Speedway, which is less than 30 minutes away. Whether it's race time or it's the off season, there's always something going on there with bikes, racing, the museum, the tour. You get to see NASCARs. Fun thing. I didn't get a chance to do it. It's on my list next time. But one thing that is absolutely at the top of my list, and it harkens back to my childhood. I grew up with this dream of space, and our kids are right now in the solar system. You are literally less than an hour away from the Kennedy Space Center. And that is a full day affair. To me, that is a multi-day affair. And the only reason why we didn't attend this time is our kids are a little bit young. And as much as dad wants to climb in a space capsule, mm-hmm. I want them to make sure they remember that experience. So that is, we will be back at this resort and we will definitely visit that. So depending on the age of your kids, those are two must-see adventures or excursions to do.
Wait, no, for someone who, I'm going to, you know, just say it. I've never been to a raceway in my entire life, okay? Mm-hmm. So for someone who doesn't have a lot of experience in that, what should you look for? Should you look to see a race? What type of race should you look for? Should you look at the schedule and maybe go when there's not a race so you can tour the facility? You know, I wouldn't even know what to do, but I think my kids would really like it. So
I would be cautious about race week. The reason why is the campground is going to be full and they raise the price during the race week. So if you're going to try to go around a race, go the week before when they're doing their practice runs. Hopefully the prices aren't as steep and you'll have more availability there. And you'll still get an opportunity to see cars as they're tuning and getting ready for the prelims in the race.
That is the kind of insider information that this podcast is all about.
Right.
So you heard it here. The week before, so you can see the practice runs, which our boys would probably like that just as much as a race.
I think I would even like it more. That was exactly what I was looking for, because I can imagine wanting to see the cars driving and see what it's all about without sort of the frenetic energy of a race that it seems like it would be to me.
Yeah, it can get kind of loud in a NASCAR race. So.
Absolutely.
I would have to dip my toe into my first experience.
So there are major attractions half an hour north, half an hour south, and then if you want to venture further, other really major attractions.
And then there's so much more. There's one more that we've just got to let you know about it, because it is absolutely a phenomenal.
Two more.
Oh no,
we've got time.
Okay.
Tell us two more. It's all right.
Go ahead, honey.
All right. Well, there's Fort Matanzas, and I hope I am pronouncing that correctly, National Monument, which is part of our national park system, and it is located on the coast as well, and it is home to a 1740 Spanish fort, which is called Fort Matanzas. So it's beautiful, it's historical, it's going to be highly educational for the kids. Want to point that out.
And something that mom and dad can enjoy, which is important to us.
And what we enjoyed, the fort was phenomenal. And getting there, the ferry across the little barrier to get there.
The free ferry.
True, that was nice.
Okay. Thumbs up, yeah.
We had some of the best photo ops on that little inlet beach. The kids had a blast. We walked the beach. And I know we're staying on the beach at the resort, but this was a different experience to be right on the inlet barrier. You could see the fort across the water and had a great time. So I think that's definitely a must-see, especially for photo op. That is really a little bit different, but something that is fabulous if you're looking for great family
photos. The boys found those hermit crabs out there.
That's true. That's right.
Yeah. And last but not least, there are some old plantation ruins. There's another state park there, two more state parks called Below, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, Below Plantation Ruins State Park. And you can walk through the trails, and it's supposedly unspoiled Florida. Okay? There is a 2,000-year-old Fairchild oak tree there, which I'm sorry that we missed. We'll definitely get there next time, but there's a walking tour of the ruins in an old sugar plantation.
Now, do you have to schedule for the tour, or are they rotating throughout the day, or should we just go to the website to find that information out?
You're definitely going to have to go to the website.
All right.
You know how it is when you go to a place and you have a couple things in mind, because we all do a little research before we get there, and then you get there and you realize there's more to do.
Right.
But you ran out of time, so now we've had a longer list for our next visit, and there will be a next visit.
Okay. And we'll include links to every place that Keith and Tia have mentioned in this review. We'll include all of those links in the show notes on campgroundoftheweek.com.
Yeah, and I really am seeing this as a week's vacation. You know, like you said back at the beginning, this sounds like this could definitely keep you busy for a 7-day trip.
I see 2 weeks because I need a week on the beach.
A week to
do
nothing.
I usually do a week on the beach doing nothing, and then I'm ready to go out and explore.
Now, Keith and Tia, tell us where else our listeners can find you guys on social media, Facebook. Where are you guys?
We are everywhere you want to be. Facebook, Soulful RV Family. We're on Twitter, Soulful RV Family. Same thing on Instagram. We've got our blog, soulful.family.com as well. So we're out there. And we are, should we tell it? Yeah. We'll be launching our YouTube channel in 2016.
Ooh. Ooh, that's exciting.
To actually see us as well as hear us.
That feels like a real natural fit for you guys. I'm excited for you for that, definitely.
All right. So
and you'll tell us more about that next time you're on as you develop that.
Absolutely.
As soon as that's up and running, we'll put that in your show notes too.
Absolutely. Keith and Tia, thank you so much. That's Keith and Tia Sims from SoulfulRVFamily.com, our Southern correspondents, and they will be back on this show again soon. And we'll be back in a second to wrap up the show. Thank you so much for tuning in to RVFTA's Campground of the Week.
Links to the campground and regional attractions can be found in the show notes at campgroundoftheweek.com.
And don't forget to check out the other podcasts in our network.
RV Family Travel Atlas is hosted by yours truly, Jeremy and Stephanie Puglisi, and available every Friday morning.
And Girl Camper, Going Places, Doing Things, is hosted by Janine Pettit and released every Tuesday morning.
Join us next Thursday for another great review from our team of campground correspondents who will inspire you to hit the open road and explore America the Beautiful.